Welcome to the Fishing Daily podcast, and this is the first podcast of 2023, and we are joined by Dr. Tom Pickerel from the North Atlantic Pelagic Advocacy Group. Welcome back, Tom.
Thank you, Oliver. Nice to be back.
And thank you for joining us today. Tom, we're going to talk about the situation with the pelagic fisheries in 2023. How do you feel that the ICES scientific advice works out with what the coastal states have agreed?
Yeah, thank you, Oliver. So ICES produced their scientific advice for the three Northeast Atlantic pelagic stocks that NAPA's interested in, mackerel, Atlantic-Scandinavian herring and blue whiting, back in mid-October. And it was a bit of a mixed bag, really. So starting with mackerel, the advised catch from the ICES advice was pretty similar to their advice from the previous year. It was only a 1.6% reduction. However, because the actual total allowable catch that was set in 2022 greatly exceeded the ICES advice, if we were to adhere to the scientific advice, we would be looking at a 31% cut. For Atlantic-Scandinavian herring, it's about a 4.6% reduction to the catch advice. Again, there was no agreement in 2022 for Atlantic-Scandinavian herring, and the actual total catch that was declared was, I think, 827,000 tonnes. So that's a 38% catch reduction that would be needed to follow the scientific advice. But for blue whiting, much better news. The advised catch was around about 1.3 million tonnes. And that's an 81% increase from the 2022 catch advice. Now, the actual catch in 2022 was 1.1 million tonnes. So that would give an opportunity for a 23% increase in terms of what the scientific advice says of what the catch was the previous year. Should be worth noting that the improvement in blue whiting has nothing to do with well-managed fisheries. It's to do with unprecedented levels of recruitment into the fishing, into the fishery. So regardless of what it is, it's good news because it gives the fisheries managers a lot of room to manoeuvre for blue whiting. So we were very hopeful to see constraint brought into this because people could still take a percentage cut to adhere to the scientific advice, but not actually see real-term catch reductions.
With the blue whiting, yeah, we're seeing, as you said, 1.3 million tonnes to be fished this year. What's your members' reactions to this? Was it it's generally positive, but is there any concerns about can this be fished, or is there a danger maybe of overfishing?
If we follow the scientific advice, there should be no danger of overfishing. So our members were pleased with the opportunity, but the pleasure was more about the opportunity to actually impose some adherence to the scientific advice rather and bank the stock for the future rather than just go out and target it straight away. But of course, if we have that increase in volumes landed, it's going to have an impact on the price. So it would be a lot better to actually bank it for the future and not sort of blow it in one year.
Well, could there be a danger as well? Like if you did bank too much of this fish stock, that it could become a danger to itself. And the fact that it might not be able to sustain itself feeding wise.
That's right. Yeah. And it's a fine balancing act. So I think there's, the scientific advice is incredibly good. The data on these fisheries are, very robust. So it's a question of, not taking too much, not taking too little, making sure that the fisheries are there for the long term, but also taking into account the views of the market as well, because these are the people who are ultimately purchasing and transferring it through the supply chain. So yeah, it's a balancing act. Let's not take too much, but let's not go crazy.
I suppose it's a similar situation where we've seen Norway now and the Faroe Islands and Iceland overfishing the advice on mackerel, and it seems to have had a major impact on the market space where the fish had a lot higher value some years back, but now it seems to be that Norway has caught more mackerel, but it hasn't actually increased the value of what it's selling that much.
Yeah, it's worth noting that it's difficult to say that a particular coastal state is overfishing, because this is a shared stock with collective responsibility. So if there's no agreement on sustainable catch levels, and then the whole stock is being overfished because, you know, it is collective. So it's difficult to put pinpoint and say this one coastal state is overfishing. Now, you could rightly say that this coastal state has unilaterally increased their quota and is behaving irresponsibly. And certainly that's been seen. And one of the consequences of that has, as you rightly say, has been the value of the mackerel is not been as high as it had previously. And that's probably a lot to do with the condition of the fish. And this is why, for such a migratory species that has such a large stock area, that collective responsibility and collective responsible management is so important. And this is what we're calling for. If you go off and do it on your own unilaterally, then you're gonna face these challenges, and there's really no winners.
NAPAS has been critical of the Faroe Islands, and that so you'd be hoping that this year, in 2023, you will see a lot more countries coming into aligning with the scientific advice.
Absolutely, and that's very much the foundation of NAPA. So, following the scientific advice in late October, the coastal states group, so that's the seven coastal states that are involved in the fisheries, convened in London to actually have their annual meeting. So that was our first opportunity to see how the coastal states would react to the scientific advice, and for the pressure from NAPA, plus for the NGO community as well. What was really noticeable at the coastal states this year was, in previous years, the coastal states have pretty much rubber stamped the ICES advice and said, right, we support the ICES advice and we will set a tack accordingly. So, and that on paper looks great. But what it means is that none of the parties will individually or collectively exceed the scientific advice. So it could mean that you and I come to an agreement and the quota that we agree between us will not exceed the scientific advice. But another party could then set a quota, again, not exceeding the scientific advice, but collectively we are exceeding the scientific advice. So this announcement only has value if everyone agrees. So it's a necessary step, but it's valueless unless there is a collective agreement. So that normally just gets rubber stamped at the coastal states meetings and it doesn't really mean much. But this year, that didn't happen. It only really happened in Atlantis Scandean herring. And that's probably because of the geopolitical situation. Russian Federation is a coastal state for Atlantis Scandean herring, and several of the other coastal states did not wish to negotiate with them due to the invasion of Ukraine. So it was the only course of action, really, to just rubber stamp the ICES advice and the TAC. For mackerel, there was broad recognition of the advice from ICES, which is good, with most parties agreeing that they want to set quotas at this level. So rather than having it higher or lower, but again, first step. The parties did discuss a sharing agreement at the coastal states. So that's the essential part. And apparently they were constructive and there was good progress made in getting to solutions. Now, this is all good news, because normally, like I say, it's just a rubber stamp and sort of park it. And what they did was, rather than just reaching a conclusion there, they agreed to meet after the coastal states at the beginning of November and try to sign an agreement on a total catch limit there. So that was very positive. So they didn't just leave the coastal states with nothing. They agreed to meet before NEAFC. For blue whiting, there were some divergent views on the TAC level because of the increase in the scientific advice. The UK was actually supporting a TAC constraint principle. And so they were actually saying we should catch less than the scientific advice, to bank it for the future. So again, they didn't reach any agreement on that. There was no rubber stamping of the scientific advice, and they agreed to continue the discussions before the NEAF meeting. So all in all, we were kind of enthusiastic about that, because there was much more debate and negotiation and discussion. And we know that a lot of that was stimulated by the advocacy in the lead up to it. So that's what happened based on the scientific advice. And what if you like, I can run straight into the Northeast Atlantic Fisheries Commission meeting if that would flow well.
Go ahead. Yeah.
Great. So we had the meetings of mackerel and blue whiting before NEAFC. No agreement was reached at those meetings. So there was progress made, but they didn't reach any agreement. So we entered NEAFC without any sort of formal recommendation from the coastal states. So mackerel was discussed, as you can imagine. The discussions on a total allowable catch was ongoing during the meeting. And because they couldn't sign the agreed record because they had no recommendation, they agreed it would be tabled by correspondence following the meeting. And they agreed to have a meeting in early December. So again, further negotiations, it wasn't this rubber stamping on mackerel. So yeah, that was good to see. Herring. Well, we've already discussed what happened. The recommendation from the coastal states was taken. They were going to set the tack at the scientific advice level and move on. The only thing of note here is the UK didn't sign the agreed record because of the Russian Federation signing it. So they signed an identical one without the Russian Federation on it. So there you go. However, all parties did agree that they need to address the quota sharing. Which was good to see. And they've agreed they will meet this month, so very early in the year, on a quota sharing arrangement for Atlantic Scandean herring. So that was good news. So it remains to be seen how they proceed with, obviously, the issues around the Russian Federation being a coastal state. But there was a progress made at NEAFC as well. Blue whiting, again, very similar to mackerel. They didn't come to a conclusion pre-NEAFC, so they didn't come to a conclusion there either. They did adopt the measures for blue whiting in international waters. So that's for Greenland and the Russian Federation, which is they get a particular proportion of that. So that was approved and signed. And they also agreed to prevent countries who are not parties to the NEAFC to fish for those. So again, they're pretty administrative areas. Pretty quickly from NEAFC, we moved into the meetings of mackerel and blue whiting, and that was in early December. So you can see it was pretty intense conversations there. So the working group for mackerel met in early December, and this time they did agree to set the tack in line with the scientific advice. So that was a 1.6% decrease compared to the 2022 tack. But again, that doesn't mean anything until the sharing agreement is reached. However, they also agreed that they would initially set quotas for 2023. So they obviously have to set something at the start of the year, because otherwise there'll be no fishing. But they agreed that they would only set quotas that were conducive to the sharing discussions. So what they wouldn't do is set their quota. Now, that's really important, because last year the UK and the EU set their mackerel allocation before the discussions actually started. And that was not viewed as very helpful. So by agreeing to set, you know, holding quotas, they were learning from the mistakes, and we're going into these discussions in 2023 without anyone having sort of made their decisions already. The other thing of note is they set a voluntary deadline of the 31st of March to reach agreement. Now, that doesn't mean they will reach agreement on the 31st of March, but they have set their own deadline. And this is before the fishing season really takes off, and therefore, you know, they are realizing that they can't drag out these negotiations throughout the year, because, you know, by that point it's too late. So 31st of March, just over 10 weeks, is what they've set themselves. And the first meeting of the mackerel group is early February. So some very positive outcomes there. We're not yet there, but you can see the difference from previous years. For blue whiting, they eventually agreed to follow the scientific advice. So that's 1.3 million tons, an 81% increase on the 2022 tack. We, NAPA, thinks this is disappointing, and we think this is a missed opportunity. You know, they could have taken percentage reductions and still had the same amount and actually got their share to 100% rather than 130-odd% as it is now. The UK strongly advocated for a tack set at a more precautionary level, in line with the tack constraint principles. And they actually went as far as wanting that recorded in the record of the meeting. So that was good. We welcomed that from the UK. So that's what happened in the discussion. So we pick it up now with the discussions for the sharing agreements?
There seems to be a maturing of relationships there between the coastal states. Would that be true to say?
I think that's very true. I've been speaking to a couple of the delegates throughout the year, and a lot of people have said the words constructive, progressive, less blockers, willingness to listen. So I think, you know, there's definitely been a bit of a change there. And I'd like to think that's due to the market exerting its pressure and, you know, setting out what they want to see and the consequences of that. It's very difficult to say it's due to us entirely. We may be part of it, but it's super to see.
For your members at the moment, the Russian invasion of Ukraine, what's the situation there? Has it changed the dynamics?
Only insofar for us as it impacts the herring, the Atlantic-Scandinavian herring discussions, because you can see, you know, there was progress made on mackerel and blue whiting in terms of, shall we say, more mature dialogue and negotiation. But for the Atlantic-Scandinavian herring, that really wasn't able. One of the consequences of this is we have set our own deadline. It's April 24 for the conclusion of our mackerel and herring FIP. It may be that we need to extend the deadline for Atlantic-Scandinavian herring. Not mackerel, because there's no excuses there, but for Atlantic-Scandinavian herring, we really are being, everyone's being limited by the political situation there and the fact that proper negotiations are not being able to take place. Now, we've aired this with a couple of NGOs who we speak to, and they understand, you know, that this is out with our control. So that's really the major impact it's having on the work of NAPA. There may be individual business impacts, but we don't get involved at that level.
In 2022, NAPA added a few more organizations and businesses to its group. What's the outlook for 2023? Like, is there more participants willing to come on board?
We're approximately 60 members now. We truly are a global organization now, with representatives from North America, South Africa, Japan. And that, I think that reflects the fact that these fisheries are globally important. You know, they have a global market. We're always interested in engaging with more companies. We don't have an active recruitment, and that's not because we're not interested. It's just focusing the resources on the actual work. So it really is an open invitation. And our partners, we're very, very economical, I would say, and efficient. You can join NAPA for free. There's also a paid membership, which enables you to be on the steering committee. So, you know, we're really making it advantageous for companies to get engaged. And by them getting engaged, they can actually exert their commercial power in a structured way to call for better fisheries management. And this is really important to the companies, because they are essentially dependent on effective fisheries management. Without that, the products are unable to be called sustainable.
And is it just companies that can get involved with NAPA?
Yes, we're just a market-based organization. We do collaborate with NGOs, for example, and we also collaborate with the catching sector. We've certainly got a lot of common ground with members of the catching sector, not always fully. There's obviously we don't take views on allocations about who should get what, and the catching sectors obviously have strong opinions on that, because it's they're the ones catching it. We are always happy to work collaboratively on areas that we share aims and objectives on.
And 2023, is there any big events coming up that NAPA's going to be involved in, or maybe that people should be looking out for that would be of interest?
Yeah, well, I think for us, the first big thing of the year will be this deadline on the 31st of March. We will be putting pressure on the fisheries ministers of the coastal states and the delegations to seize this opportunity. They've set themselves the deadline, which is, which we applaud. They've got to seize this opportunity. They can change everything with one simple decision. Mackerel is not overfished. We're overfishing it, but it's not overfished. If they can address this and get us down to no more overfishing, then it immediately transforms into a long-term management discussion, which NIAF has a mandate for the coastal states are ready to engage on this. Some already want to. Others are holding it back because they want to agree the sharing mechanism. So it's just political will. If we get this, and then MACL is addressed, it's sorted.
So going forward, Tom, where do you think things can be improved?
I just think there were more involved discussions this year on mackerel and blue whiting, and that was great to see. And I think if we can continue this spirit of discussion, I think we will get the solution that everyone wants and that everyone will ultimately benefit from. At the minute, the stocks are under pressure, and there's no need for them to be under pressure. Everyone can have more if we manage it properly. One of the concerns we had is, herring crashed in the 60s. It took 20 years to recover. That's no one wants to see that. That will not benefit anyone. It won't benefit the ecosystem either. So, there are tangible things here that we're all trying to avoid, regardless of your interest. So, the call to the delegations is work it out, take your fair share, accept that everyone's going to have to give a little, and then everyone will ultimately win.
Well, Tom, thank you very much for joining us again. It's been interesting, and we'll probably be chatting to you again in the future when another event has happened, which probably be hopefully at the end of March, and we'll have results from that.
Yeah, absolutely. Be happy to update you on what happened.
Thanks, Tom.
Thank you.